Welcome to another conversation with SYD Life. My name's Kaylee Carotz and I am thrilled to be sitting next to the very wonderful and fabulous Emily Francis. Oh, welcome, Em.
Thanks.
Today we're going to be chatting about becoming a step-parent, huge topic. Mm. I'm sure there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows and we want to get into the deepness of it today with you. So thank you so much for joining us and being vulnerable and sharing your story.
Pleasure.
How long have you been a step-parent for?
So I've been married to my husband for about 7.5 years now and I met the kids... Two years before we got married. So it's sort of like a 9.5 year journey.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've been an official sort of stepmom in terms of them living with me.
Yes.
For 7.5, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And tell us about the two kids.
Okay, so eldest son is 19.
Yeah.
And then daughter is 17.
Yeah.
Almost 18. So, yeah. They were 8 and 9 when I met them.
Gosh.
So it has I kind of went through the like early teen years and I've done I feel like I'm coming to the end of the teen years.
Yeah.
Like the challenges won't stop, I know, but yeah. I do feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
You're through the thick of it.
I am. You know, my mum used to call them the whitewater rafting years.
Yeah, wow.
And she said in the teenage years, you just hold on for dear life.
Yeah, right.
And you'll get through it. But, yeah, it's a challenging time.
Yeah.
And then step-parenting, I suppose, adds complexity to that already challenging time.
Yeah, gosh. Mm. I'm still in the early stages. My kids are 10, 7, 5, so I'm at the smooth water rafting part before the rapids come in.
I mean, every age has its challenges, right?
Yeah.
But – yeah, I suppose their kids are figuring out who they are and I know this is not a Parenting Teenagers podcast by any means, but as a step-parent I found it really difficult. I struggled, to be honest, and I think most people do. But, yeah, as I said, that step-parenting element adds complexity.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm. Tell us a fun moment. Tell us a funny story.
Let's start with the good stuff.
Yeah, let's start on a high.
Okay, we're starting on a high. Now, I said to our lovely producer before that this is a story that is funny in hindsight.
I love those.
I love those too. Yeah. But at the time, it was not that funny. So we had travelled as a family. My husband's from South Africa.
Okay.
And we travelled as a family to South Africa. It was my first time ever there. We went for 3 weeks with the kids and then we were sort of dropping them off at an airport to go back to Sydney to be with their mum.
Right.
While my husband and I continued on a European adventure. So we got through, you know, the 3 weeks in South Africa, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But we got to the airport at Johannesburg and It's very different when you go to South Africa. The red tape to be able to travel with your kids is huge because there's so much crime and everything. So, and you know, child abductions and all these terrible sorts of things. And so we had to fill out, like, I feel like a 100-page document in order to be able to travel with our kids to South Africa and then out. So we'd done all the documents, we'd received all the approvals, it went through all the embassies, rah, 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 rah. It was a big process.
Yeah.
So we were going to drop them off at Johannesburg Airport. They were flying back to Sydney and we were flying on to London. And we got to the airport and we checked all of our bags in and we realised that we left all the paperwork in our checked bags. So this is a huge problem because they will not let you through without seeing these documents, affidavits they're called.
Yeah, right.
And so we had a very, very stressful hour and a half while they recalled the bag that had all the documents in it.
Gosh.
And we were pacing back and forth and praying and going, God, we've got to. And I was like, God, you've got to get me on that plane to London. I need a break.
Europe's calling me.
And you know, no, the kids are amazing. We had the most amazing time with them. But I was just looking forward to, you know, having 4 weeks with my husband and also for the kids to get on their plane because it would have been really complex if we couldn't get them on the plane and everything. Anyway, so we ended up getting all the documents back with about 5 minutes to spare before the kids' flight was to go off. So we got the documents back. We had to get all our boarding passes. We had to get through security. We had to get through everything. And at that point, we were so stressed, I was bawling my eyes out. And we were running, and we had to run through security. Our wine, because we had a couple of bottles of nice wine that we thought
take
we'd take.
Take my shirt, but yeah, not the wine.
Not the wine. And they put it in the bin, so I was crying even harder after that. We weren't allowed to take that. But we were literally running through Johannesburg Airport to get to this flight, and the kids were way ahead because they were running, you know, and I was way behind because I'm really unfit. And I was literally, it was like a movie. I was bawling my eyes out running through the airport like this. And then, it was like Chariots of Fire. And we got there, we put the kids on the plane, and I just collapsed into tearful sobs.
Goodness. What a shemozzle.
It was a shemozzle. So it's funny. It's funny now.
Yeah.
But at the time. And they weren't crying, just me. They were fine.
Yeah, yeah.
They got on the plane. But poor kids. Like, it was very stressful.
Stressful.
So that was probably our most intense time as a family.
I loved it. It probably bonded you as well.
It bonded us.
It's a good story to recap over family dinners.
Exactly.
For the years to come.
We're telling that story.
Oh, it's so great. Yeah. I love it, Em. So let's dive on in.
Mm.
Tell us a bit about your step-parenting journey.
Yeah. So I became a step-parent at 39. I got married when I was 39, so, you know, a bit late.
You're fresh.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
I was 37 when I started dating Glenn, met the kids not too early, but sort of pretty early in the dating journey. But, you know, we obviously took it slow because there was a lot of things going on, lots of layers to taking it slow. But, you know, also for kids, it's really important to give them time to get used to this new person.
Yeah. Totally.
And they'd been through a lot. Mm. And so, met the kids and then dated for a year and a half, got engaged and got married January 2016. It's been 7.5 years of having the kids pretty much 50% of the time we share the kids with their mum. And so we would have, you know, it changed all the time, but it was generally like 1 week on, 1 week off.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, that was really helpful, to be honest, because I know not every parent gets a break.
Yeah.
But for me, I felt like, oh gosh, I needed those breaks because I was getting used to so much and it was so different. And you got to remember, I'd been by myself single, you know, till I was 37. Lived with other people, but essentially was, you know, a single person living my own life, taking care of myself, and also an introvert, which is an added layer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I had three people living with me that I was interacting with on a daily basis.
And baptism of fire, isn't it?
It really was.
Yeah.
And so, to be honest, being married was the easy part. Mm. Getting used to being a stepmom was probably the more challenging part.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So let's talk about some of those challenges, because I'm sure people listening, you know, we all have different journeys, but I'm sure some of them will resonate quite deeply. Mm. And we'd love to hear your wisdom on them.
Yeah.
What's probably the number one challenge that you've really faced and walked through, and maybe some tips to help us through that challenge?
Yeah, I think probably the number one challenge is actually biological, because you are not biologically connected to the children that you are raising.
Right.
And I didn't really think too much before I got married about that, but when you are living with the kids and raising them as the non-biological parent, it becomes very clear what the differences are.
Yeah.
And I remember my dad, actually about 2 weeks before I got married, my dad said to me, "Are you ready to be a stepmom?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And he actually said to me, "That's the best answer you could have given."
Yeah, well.
Because I think if I'd felt ready, I would have gone in with too high expectation of the experience. But I suppose, the biological differences, they do matter, because you don't have a natural protective instinct right away.
Yeah, right.
You don't have a natural I had a natural affection for the kids. I loved them both. Mm. And I really enjoyed their personalities and all those sorts of things. But that natural, I think, discipline
Yeah.
And the natural protective instinct that had to grow over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like, I even think about babysitting other people's kids. Obviously, you love them, but it is such a different level to, you know, how you feel about your own children. So I can imagine that being a challenge. What helped you, Em, to grow that affection for them?
I think it was just time. Mm. I think if you go in expecting it to feel like the Brady Bunch from day one.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get a bit disappointed. And I think there were times too where I felt guilty about I felt like I should have felt differently about the kids just because they were living with me.
Yeah, right.
But I had to give myself a bit of a break and go, okay, this is going to grow over time. Mm. And as I said, I really enjoyed and loved both of them.
Yeah, of course.
But that love had to grow deeper over time and the respect had to grow. I honestly feel like it's harder for them than me. I mean, they were 8 and 9 when I first met them, and I think 11 and 12 when we got married.
Right.
And I think about what it must have been like for them to invite this new person into their family.
Yeah.
That, again, was not a biological parent, but that had to take a somewhat of a role of authority over them. That's really tough for kids. I remember actually just probably a week before I married my husband, I was one of the kids just naturally started to, and I know I'm kind of going off the question here, but we'll come back to it.
Yeah, no,
come back to it. But they're acting up a bit, their behaviour changed. Sort of, and it was probably in the 3-4 weeks leading into us getting married. And I didn't recognise at the time, but I realise now that they were internally adjusting to what was about to happen.
Yeah, it's a big adjustment.
And I found it really difficult because the behaviour became quite hard to deal with for me. I remember going on a walk and going, God, I don't know how I'm going to handle this.
Yeah, right.
And am I the right person for this job? And do I want the challenges that come with this?
Yeah, wow.
And he spoke to me really clearly and as he does when I'm in crisis, I go, God, and he goes, here you go. And he just gave me this beautiful sense of, he said, yeah, it's going to be challenging because, you know, God doesn't lie.
Yeah, it's true.
He said, yeah, it's going to be challenging, but I'm going to be with you in every challenge.
Yeah.
And that was something I held on to for the first 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, beautiful.
Just that he was with me in every challenge.
Yeah. How did the kids go adjusting to you? Obviously you are adjusting to them, but them adjusting to you as well. Was that a difficult journey for you too, or?
Yeah. Well, you know, it brings up another thought that I had about there's archetypes about step-parents that are not very nice. They're quite negative archetypes, like the evil stepmother.
Yes,
and
totally.
All these sorts of things. And
The Wicked Witch.
The Wicked Witch. Oh, my gosh. And there were times when I was like, am I becoming the archetype? But
am I from Ever After? am I that mom?
I'm evil. But, what was I saying about that? There was something I was gonna go somewhere with that. But it was
sorry, I took us down a rabbit hole.
<That's fine. laughs> I'm used to rabbit holes, but I think I was just saying, those archetypes are they're not. One thing that really shocked me was that the kids at no time ever expressed any rejection of me as a person.
Wow.
And I think I had read a few – I didn't pick up a lot of reading material about being a step-parent because I tend to kind of learn through the experience. It's just the way I learn better.
Yeah, sure.
But I did pick up a couple of things, and a couple of things helped, but there was this general tone through everything I read that kind of was like, be prepared for all the rejection.
Yeah, wow.
And it actually sowed a bit of a seed of – negative expectation in me.
Yeah, right.
That, oh my gosh, these kids are going to reject me and how am I going to handle that? But they weren't doing that.
Yeah, wow.
And so, you know, I'm all for reading and, you know, upskilling yourself in every area of life. But I think for me, I made a decision to put those books down and go, okay, they're not rejecting me and I'm not going to start expecting them to.
That's good.
I'm just going to go on the journey and see what happens.
Yeah, beautiful.
And trust God that he's going to look after me in the journey. So what I was saying about that was I think the way the kids reacted to me and responded to me was quite amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that had a lot to do with their upbringing. I think it had a lot to do with how their dad raised them.
Yeah.
And I also didn't try and be a mum. Mm. I never strived to fill a role that wasn't just going to happen naturally, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
In that way, I don't think they felt overwhelmed by my presence.
Yeah.
And I had a very beautiful mum, a very relaxed mum and a very she's quite chilled as a person, and I suppose I just took – I suppose I assimilated that as I was growing up and then kind of recreated that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And so I think that helped. I'm sure there were times where they were internally struggling.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, their behaviour changed in those early days.
It did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it settled down. So once we'd been married for about 6 months, the behaviour completely changed. And I think it was partly going – I think they were internalising the thought of am I going to lose my dad because there's this person here that's taking all his attention. And I think once they realised that they weren't going to lose their dad, they started to just trust the whole thing a bit more.
Yeah. Gosh, building trust, it takes time, doesn't it? It does. Can't just flick a switch and they trust you all of a sudden.
Yeah. But they were beautiful. I still to this day go, gosh, I think apart from, you know, the normal challenges of raising kids, them accepting me was probably quite a smooth transition compared to, you know, and I do feel for people out there. I do know people that find that transition is really difficult.
Right.
And all I can say to them is, you know, give it time because things do turn around.
Yeah, it's great, Em.
Yeah.
What's another challenge you face that if you're a listener, you're a new step parent and you're probably facing that you could encourage people in?
Yeah. There's a couple I will just quickly mention. Mm. So the biological thing is a huge thing, partly because of the instinct, the lack of instinct, but also because they're nothing like you.
Yeah.
You know, so for most mothers and fathers, there are complementary genetic forces going on.
Yeah, right.
Where their kids are like them in some ways.
Yeah, wow.
And so there's no complementary genetic forces happening when you're a step-parent, and that can be really difficult. I remember being challenged by that and having to navigate the emotion of raising kids that were nothing like me.
Yeah, wow.
And sometimes you do feel like a little bit of an outsider because the family unit has been preformed before you get there.
Yeah, right.
And that's unusual because usually you would, as a natural parent, biological parent, you would form the family unit together.
Yeah, right.
But I was coming in on an already formed and functioning family unit with its own culture.
Yeah, interesting.
So I found that really difficult because I did feel like an outsider for a while. I don't now.
Yeah, great.
But I did. And actually one thing I did read that was really helpful to me, I think Gordon Moore wrote a book about blended families, and he said that it takes about 5 years for a blended or step family to feel like a family.
Yeah, wow.
And it took 5 years, like on the dot.
Yeah, wow.
It was amazing.
Yeah, wow.
We clocked over 5 years and I was like, oh, my gosh, everything feels different.
Yeah, wow.
It feels like we're a family.
Yeah, amazing.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge that the family had a prior history. I suppose another challenge was kids going back and forth is a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah, right. Talk to us about that, navigating that. That's a big one.
Yeah, well, I think, again, harder for the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're packing 7 bags every week to switch houses.
Gosh.
So that was hard for them, but they did that really well. But for me, as an introvert and someone who likes to control their environment, having kids, it was like they'd go out into orbit and And I'd be on the planet going, I've got a week where I can just worry about what's in front of me.
Yeah.
And right. I don't have to, because I'm quite an anxious personality and I overthink things and I get really anxious about things. And
right.
So I found the weeks that I had the kids really hard, not because of them, but because of what was internally going on for me.
Sure.
And when they would leave, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can breathe.
Yeah.
And then about 24 hours before they would come back, the anxiety would start.
Yeah, right.
And so for about 2-3 years, I struggled and struggled and struggled with that anxiety. Mm. It did get less over time and now it's non-existent.
Yeah, great.
So there's no anxiety about the kids coming. But
yeah.
Just as someone who had been able to control their environment for 37 years, all of a sudden I was a bit out of control.
Yeah.
And so I found the going back and forward really tough.
But did again, it take the kids a while to like settle back in to like sort of your home and routine? Yes. And was that an adjustment every second week?
Yeah, that's such a good question because it was. I remember probably half an hour before they would leave, there was tension.
Yeah.
And we'd always end up like having arguments just before the kids left. Mm. And I think it was just the stress of them having to pack their whole life up.
Right.
And they were internally adjusting to moving on to the other house.
Yeah, right.
And leaving, you know, leaving their dad.
Yeah.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
It's just not normal.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, have so much respect for the kids and how they've handled it. I know kids are resilient, but gee, it's hard for them. And then coming back in, the re-entry was also tough.
Right.
So probably about, I used to say to Glenn, for about an hour after they come, it's tense and awkward and clunky.
Yeah, right.
And then everyone settles back in again.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because I'm sure there's things you would do differently in your home compared to when they're going to their mum's.
Yeah.
You know, so even just that adjustment would be big. How did you help them adjust back in every fortnight? Were there any tips you did?
Look, I don't know that I think it took me a while to realise it, what was happening. And then I think I just became more aware of it and I think I tried to have a bit more grace for both of them as they came and went, just thinking about what it would be like for them.
Yeah.
But I wasn't always that great at it because it was awkward and clunky for me too. So
Look, everyone's learning.
We're all learning.
Everyone's learning.
But I think just becoming aware of how it was affecting them and what was actually happening, I was like, why is this happening every time they leave?
Yeah.
Every time they come back in.
Yeah, wow.
Mm. So just recognising those patterns was helpful.
Yeah, that's great.
For everyone, I think.
Yeah, that's good. Mm. Any other challenges you'd like to hit on that might help people today?
Yeah, I think different parenting styles is a big one for two houses. Okay. Mm. Now, they've got an awesome mum and you know, does a fantastic job. But it's just the reality that when a couple split, they will have different ways that they want to raise their children.
Yeah.
And then I come in as the third wheel and go, I'd like to raise them this way. And I tried not to do that and I don't think I did so much. I didn't sort of insert myself too much. But, I think, again, it was – the complexity of two households in terms of family culture, expectations, discipline. Discipline was a huge challenge.
Yeah. Did you get involved in that element?
So I was really lucky because Glenn smoothed the way out for me, I think, in a lot of ways by communicating to the kids a lot that whatever I said was what they had to do.
Yeah, okay.
So he
brought
set it
you
up.
Into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
He set it up. Mm. At the same time, I have read a little bit about what should happen and apparently it is supposed to be a very slow burn in terms of what a step-parent brings to the discipline table.
Right.
You're not supposed to be too overbearing, forceful for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah, sure, because you're building that trust and relationship, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I naturally took a bit of a back step. So for me it was more about I need to get involved.
Right.
I would just say the discipline thing – I just didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. And I just had to learn through lots of hard knocks and horrible moments what worked and what didn't.
Yeah.
And my family culture was interesting in that, in terms of that, because we didn't really confront a lot in my family. I've spoken about this openly and, you know, we didn't have a culture of conflict.
Yeah.
So just the fact that there was conflict was really like, oh, my gosh, what is this that I've stepped into?
We're so dysfunctional.
We're so dysfunctional, but in fact we're so normal.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So I think discipline, I did take a back step. I think my husband sort of had to encourage me to get more involved at times.
Okay.
So I tried to do that without being completely overbearing.
Yeah.
And most of the time the kids were really respectful because he had built that culture of respect.
Yeah, beautiful.
So that helped. Mm. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you and your husband. Mm. How did you stay connected through the ups and downs of step-parenting?
Yeah. Well, do you know, we had this natural break every week or every 2 weeks.
Yes, right.
So a lot of parents don't have that. So we took advantage of having the break.
Yeah.
And so for a week where we didn't have them, we would just connect and we would talk about everything that had happened the week before and process it.
Yeah, right.
We talked about everything, really.
That's great.
In fact, we talked more about parenting than our relationship, really.
Yeah, wow.
because that was the major – Glenn and I get on so well and it's really easy for us to live together. Mm. And, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We're not You're robots. Normal. Yeah, we're normal, but, yeah. We found it easy to live together. So most of our conversations centered around parenting stuff.
And getting on the same page?
Yeah, getting on the same – we were naturally pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, okay.
But I will say one thing, South Africans and discipline is quite a different – have quite a different take on, family dynamics. They're brought up with this thing instilled in them about respect for authority and elders.
Yeah, right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Wish we had it.
Yeah.
But so that really helped as well. But there were times when I was like, wow, babe, that's harsh.
Yeah, sure.
But then I realised that it was probably the best thing.
Yeah.
But it's just not what I experienced growing up.
Yeah, sure.
So – yeah, we had to have a few moments where we were grappling with that, the different cultures.
Yeah.
But by and large, I let him take the lead.
Yeah.
And I kind of just followed along. But, in terms of us connecting together, we were kind of intentional in that week. But then when the weeks we had the kids, we kind of just had to go, this is about us as a family and, you know.
Yeah. So that time you did have together, you really invested into great communication, sounds like.
We did.
Yeah,
that's good. We chatted all the time, cried.
Yeah.
And, and prayed and, did all that. And so our, and every time we would go to someone and go, we're having a huge challenge, it was more in the teenage years.
Yeah.
They would say to us, how are you two together? Because that's the most important thing is that you are a united front.
Yeah.
And that you're getting on well and have a stable relationship. That's the most important thing for the kids too.
Yeah, it brings a stable home, doesn't it, if you two are stable-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if we're completely stable people, but.
I am. I don't know about you.
I've got some issues.
we've all got them. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
And there were some people in my life too, if I could encourage people just to talk to, like talking to friends outside of the family unit and get perspective.
Great.
So I had a lot of conversations with my girlfriends where I was like, and my sister, my brother at times too, where I was like, oh my gosh, this is really difficult. Yeah. I'm struggling here.
Yeah, right.
Where I could just be really honest.
Yeah,
it's good. My dad as well was really supportive and, just having those people outside of what's happening was really helpful.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What are some other things that helped you in this journey?
One thing I think was sort of unintentional / intentional, but letting Glenn spend time with his kids on his own was good. Right. I think the kids really appreciated that, that they were still a family. Mm. And because of my introversion, I was like, off you go. Have a great time. See you in 6 hours. Yeah,
yeah. Don't come back any earlier. Yeah,
exactly. Do you know one thing I have to tell you? There were times when I was struggling so much to handle just the amount of interaction that was going on in the house.
Yeah.
And just people being around me all the time. I would genuinely pretend to be asleep. And I've told my stepdaughter this. I'd be like, she'd come up to my room and ask me a question. I'd be like.
I hide in the bathroom and pretend I'm on the toilet. Like, they're like, Mum, you've been in there for like 10
Five
minutes.
Hours.
I'm like, yeah, well, sometimes it takes a while.
Whatever it takes to stay sane is what I say.
100%.
And it's the same with step parenting. Is you just need those moments. When you know that your emotions are going to be a danger to people.
Oh, no, it's
and
true.
You have to extract yourself.
Yeah, it's really good.
And so I let myself have a few of those moments where I'm like, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
Or I'm having a shower for half an hour or, I just,
No, it's great.
Yeah.
So the kids had great sort of one-on-one time with Glenn, which is really beautiful. You got some, you know, other people's perspective.
Yep.
Any other helpful tips that's helped you through the journey?
I mean, I can't not talk about how incredible God was in that season. And I'll just quickly tell you that when I went for the walk, just 2 weeks before I got married or 1 week, I can't remember, when I was really struggling with this kind of, am I going to be able to handle this? Went for a walk around Eleonora and I just told everyone where I live. That's all right. No one's going to come and find me. No one cares about me.
Near the shops.
Oh, my gosh, near the shops.
Eleanor Baker.
I was walking around some area on the northern beaches and he said that thing to me about the challenge. It's going to be challenging, but I'll be with you. And then he gave me a scripture. And the scripture was, I'm just going to tell you what it was. It was Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I'm with you. Yeah. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Beautiful.
So the words in there that really were like arrows in my heart in a good way were, I will strengthen you and I will help you, because I really felt like I did not have the strength to do the journey.
Yeah, wow. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, and I didn't know how difficult it would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, had I known, I probably would have gone for more walks around Eleonora. Or somewhere undisclosed on the beaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, asked him, you know, cried out to him, because it was really tough.
Yeah.
But he told me it would be and I chose it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to choose it and I went in eyes wide open. I never could go turn around and go, God, that was all your fault. Mm. He was straight with me.
Yeah, it's good.
And then true to his word, every time we hit a challenge, he was strengthening me through the process.
Yeah. That's great.
So that was a huge help.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? Anyone listening today?
I think probably a couple of final thoughts would be just go slow for the kids' sake, even in that sort of the dating part of the journey.
That's good.
Go slow. Also, go slow for your own sake, because you're adjusting to not just being with a person. Mm. You're adjusting to being with their children,
That's good.
Who you eventually call your children. But but when they're really naughty, it's his
children.
It's their children, which happens a lot. I'm like,
the child?
Your child?
That child?
Yeah, 100%. But
when so they're getting their award in the assembly, my child.
I'm so proud of you, my child. You are mine. I raised you. Talk to your future husband or wife about expectations. That would be my advice.
Yeah, that's great.
What are you expecting from me as a mum?
Yeah, like, that's really good.
Are you expecting me to, you know, become a mum, or are you just okay for me to work my way into this role?
Yeah, it's really good.
And to get on the same page about that. Give yourself time to get used to the situation. Give give it 5 years to feel like a family.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
What happened before that? Awesome. But for us, it took a good 5 years.
Yeah.
And good. Then I would just say stay healthy by having stuff going on outside the family unit. Mm. Have your own life as well. It's okay to have stuff going on outside family.
It's great.
So I continued to catch up with my girlfriends, to, you know, go for long walks with my friends and just talk and talk and talk, and, you know, yeah. had other things going on outside of that, just to stay sane.
Yeah, it's great.
And then for those listening who feel comfortable too, I would just say ask God for wisdom, because we don't naturally have the wisdom we need to tackle and navigate these extremely complex family situations.
Yeah, and everyone's would be so different.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine that some struggles that maybe you haven't faced, other families facing.
100%.
Yeah.
And it also depends on how old the kids are.
Yeah, right.
When you're kind of entering into their world. Mm. So so we need wisdom. Mm.
It's good.
And for their sake too, you know, as much as it's affecting you, it's affecting them. It's affecting your husband or wife. You're all on this massive learning curve together. Mm. And so, yeah, you need wisdom from God.
That's great.
I couldn't have done it without God. Mm. My friends and my family were a really good backup, but I could not have done it without God.
Yeah, it's great, Em.
Yeah.
And be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, gosh, we go through hard times and hard things, and we're built for it and we get through, but it's nice to be kind to ourselves during those seasons.
It is. I had lots of people say that to me, you know.
Yeah, right.
What can you do for yourself? Because it's not going to get easier overnight. Mm. There's no magic solution.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
To make it all better in the morning. It's just going to be tough for a while.
Yeah.
And they'll become adults eventually, and we're loving the season now.
Because nice.
We're starting to connect with our adult children in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And they're becoming their own little selves, and that's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
They're great kids.
Yeah, so beautiful. Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom, being vulnerable, and just sharing your journey. We really value it and appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.